by the publisher. I haven't read it yet, but you may discover that every word of that book is already in your consciousness. You will understand every word. And the reason is that you have been learning how to live between two worlds for a long time. Every tape you receive from La Jolla, plus the special 7 classes we had in San Francisco, have been teaching us how to make our final transition from one world to the other. And the book will show you that you are now moving in the identical direction that Joel prescribed. It should be a very exciting experience for you. When Jesus said, "Render unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's," he was not really talking about the tribute money that the Pharisees had brought him. He was describing exactly what we are now going through. Most of us are unable to ignore this world. And even though we want to live in the kingdom of God, the world around us is a daily fact that must be reckoned with. No matter how convinced we are intellectually that this is a spiritual universe, even while we speak of God, we find that we must pay tribute to Caesar. And sometimes the conflict is so intense that it tears us apart. But there is a solution. It is time for you to stop living between two worlds. You heard correctly. Stop living between two worlds. Joel's statement does not mean what most students think it means. He does not mean that you should live between two worlds. He means that you have to go through this uncomfortable and often frustrating stage while you are striving to transcend your material consciousness. But he does not mean that you must stay there and suffer. Joel was merely trying to explain that you must get out of the world of illusion. You must make the effort to be reborn into the world of spirit. And that while you are moving between two worlds, you must be patient and endure the hardships of adjustment as you die to the old man and are reborn to the new. But please, let us make no mistake about it. He was not advising us to remain between two worlds. He wrote 25 books teaching us how to get out from between two worlds. Listen to his own words. Here they are. There are two worlds, the outer world of the senses and the inner world of the spirit. And once we have been touched by this inner world of the spirit, the natural man becomes less and less, that the Son of God may be more and more. You'll find that in the first chapter of Parenthesis in Eternity. The name of the chapter is The Two Worlds. And every chapter after that, every book that Joel ever wrote, and every word that he spoke was dedicated to lifting us out of that in-between level into the life that never dies. On page 266 of Parenthesis, we find this: the mystical life that lives in and through the Spirit releases us from all attachment to the outer universe. We have no fears, no hopes, no ambition. We are living in the Spirit, through the Spirit, and by the Spirit. And this is living the mystical life. And so you see, the real meaning of living between two worlds is to let go of every worldly concern, to leave your human nets, to leave the world while you go within, confident that when you live in your now self, whatever is needed in time and matter must appear by divine grace. But that demonstration is only within the parenthesis. Now we must press on beyond the parenthesis, beyond the comforts and needs within your present lifespan, into the highest aspect of mystical living. And this is the realization that you do not have a spiritual self and a material self. You do not have two selves. You do not have a now self and a time self, an immortal self and a mortal self. Before the end of this lifespan, you must learn how to stop living in spirit in order to improve the flesh and walk only in your own one real divine identity. Unless your human concept goes away, the comforter who takes you into transition will not come. After Christ informed the Pharisees to render unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's, let us remember that Christ surrendered the physical image in Gethsemane and finally permitted all sense of physicality to be crucified, teaching us that there comes a time when living between two worlds must end if we are to experience transition to reality. For you and me, Gethsemane is now. The world mind may send Judas to betray us, but we can give Judas the sop with no desire to detain him. For there is no physicality to betray, no flesh to be crucified. The real crucifixion takes place never on a visible cross, but always invisibly, within your consciousness, as you let Christ overshadow the world mind, erasing your belief in the corporeal world and all that it contains. You ascend above mortal beliefs. Soon it will be Easter, Ascension Day for the world of religion that worships an external God. But today, I've been given instruction to present to you the original plan of ascension given to the world, not only by Jesus Christ and Joel, but by many other illumined leaders of all time. Actually, it's the third degree of our work. You might call it the Last Supper, if you will, for if you are willing to sup spiritually in the manner prescribed, for you there is going to be a baptism of the Holy Ghost. So I'll give it to you first in very simple outline form, that you may see it in its fullness, and that you can have it in a compact form for reference, so that whenever you feel somehow that you need a little nudge because you've lost your way, there it'll be, ready for you. And then after we have the broad lines of the plan and it's clear to us, later in this or another class we can discuss it more fully. This plan is a distillation of my study of the complete works of Joel and of the teaching of Jesus as presented in the Holy Bible. It represents the plan that I follow and the plan that I recommend for your divine transition. And I offer it to you with an inner assurance that it is God's spiritual plan for you for the remainder of the days that you spend on this earth. So this is the plan. Be divine. Live now in your ascended self. Christ is never going to ascend. Christ has already ascended. You are that Christ. You have ascended. The self that you are is the ascended self. To be you, you must live in your ascended self. Now, be divine. Now, being divine is a daily full-time job. And it doesn't make any difference whether you're an accountant, an architect, career girl, or housewife. You can be a divine accountant, a divine architect, a divine career girl, and a divine housewife. You wouldn't say, for example, I'm too busy being an accountant all day to be truthful, to be honest or sincere. You realize that you can be both. You can be a truthful accountant all day long. You can be a sincere career girl. You can be an honest architect. And so, divinity is the same. That is what you are, and it is the nature of your true being, and you must be it. Or you're going to be something that you are not, which is a very impossible way to live. So step number one, the foundation stone in your preparation for a life of grace, which leads to transition and to eternal life, is this. Be divine. Be perfect as your divine Father. Christ is divine, not evolving, not becoming, not struggling to meet the rising cost of living. The point is, there is a you that is divine now. And don't talk about it. Don't read about it. Don't even boast about it. But quietly, sacredly, secretly, firmly, with conviction, above all else, be divine. Your brain may not know how to be divine, but the Father does. So make up your mind to be divine all day long, and the Father who seeth in secret will teach you how. Of course, this command is not entirely new to you. You're anything but a rank beginner. The tools for establishing and maintaining yourself as divine being are all around you, and you have only to want to use them. Your tools are truth and spirit, not human truth. Human truth falls apart at the seams at the least sign of an opposing force. In a crisis, it disintegrates. You can maintain divinity only with divine truth. And fortunately, your Father has anticipated this. Your divine self has set before you the sayings of Jesus Christ. Each is pure divine truth that you can depend upon. Where else would you look? You can't go to a dictionary or an encyclopedia. You go to your own divine self, which has spread out before you truth about your being, telling you who you are, what your qualities are. There is no more precious gift on this earth. And then, second, the deeds and demonstrations of Jesus Christ are divine truth. Each is a divine truth with an inner message. And you will find that as you learn these inner messages, many of which you've already learned, You can stand in these divine truths and they will stand up under all human pressures. If you're faithful with the sayings, with the deeds, a third thing happens. While you're faithful to divine truth expressed and demonstrated by Jesus Christ, knowing that Jesus is the image of your divine self, there to teach you, something else opens up within you. And soon you find that you don't have to go out there for the truth. It comes direct within your own divine being. Your own ascended self delivers the truth within you, perhaps as the voice or an intuition, a thought, an impulse, an assurance. I hope and believe that many of you are already blessed with this divine gift. And every time it happens, every time this inner something says, I am showing you the way, this is another confirmation that you are already divine. Every act of grace that lights a lamp under your feet is a sign of your own divinity, inviting you to accept, to cherish the precious divine life that you are. To these divine tools, add daily contemplation and meditation to expand your sensitivity to the truth and to prevent your consciousness from falling back into false human identity. And include reading and tapes, not as the main source of your inspiration, but as a reminder to nudge you, to lift you into your divinity, into your divine program, whenever you feel a dry spot of spiritual unprogression. Then, standing firm in spiritual identity, receptive to truth, each day you expand your knowledge of truth with another saying of Jesus, contemplating, meditating upon it, making the inner meaning of that saying a truth that you will uphold without compromise or adulteration. Now already you know many of these truths. Divine being never violates divine truth. You cannot be divine being and sick, divine being and exhausted, divine being and feeling pain, lack, limitation. You cannot be divine being and accept evil or error. But you are divine being. And therefore, sickness, exhaustion, pain, lack, limitation are all quickly seen as belonging to the human concept you once maintained about yourself. These negative sensations no longer belong to you. They're happening in yesterday's human self. And at this particular moment, you need not concern yourself about techniques to dismiss these negatives as part of the non-self. These techniques will follow as quickly as being divine becomes your first and foremost objective. Ask yourself, can you be divine and have a human body? Begin to realize in a remote corner of your consciousness that you have a divine body now. Become conscious of it. Start doing more spiritual exercises like the one we did in the first half of the class, when we became conscious of our divine self in the four corners of the room. Do other exercises, stepping out of your old human concept. You'll be given more of these as we go along. Remind yourself, you are not divine and human. Therefore, you do not have a divine body and a human body. realize that your divine body is never sick, never suffering, never dying. And so when something disturbs your physical concept, even if it happens to be a broken leg, realize that it cannot happen to your divine body, your only body. And the deeper this truth is planted in consciousness, the more often it is practiced, to your pleasure and your amazement, you will discover that truth in consciousness really does mend bones. Truth in consciousness will clear the sinuses. It will eliminate infection. It will activate paralyzed limbs, replace discord with harmony. And actually, it will manifest divine qualities that you would expect your divine body to have. Now, whatever is part of your human sense of life, consciously convert to your new divine sense of life. You have a divine mind. It is only capable of divine thought. So when a human thought comes, you must know that it did not come from divine mind. Therefore, look at your human thoughts as intruders, trespassers, deceivers. They are imperfect. And that is why we think about imperfection, because our human thoughts are imperfect. And that is why we experience imperfection. We simply experience our human thought. But because you have a divine mind and a divine being, you cannot accept the possibility of imperfection. On the seventh day, God rested. Divine being has created a perfect, finished kingdom. And as divine self, you do not live between two worlds. As divine self, you live here and now in the invisible, finished kingdom. You do that in a very special way. You do that by living in your divine body, in your divine mind, which thinks perfect thoughts, doing divine deeds, under ordination of divine will. You let the human thoughts roll by without responding to them, until from the timeless, spaceless, spiritual kingdom into your consciousness flow the divine thoughts and actions of divine life. You've got to work at it. Your divine self never lives in a physical body in a physical world. You do not live in a geographical place or in passing time. Your consciousness of the finished kingdom is your home. And this is where you live full time. You do not live in a human body. You are an invisible divine being. Your kingdom is present, finished, complete. It flows from the infinite silence of your divine being as your consciousness of truth, and appears in the outer world as a changing human image, governed by the pure withinness of your soul consciousness. And it is not controlled by the world mind or human senses. Now let me read to you a beautiful statement made by Joe at the Helikalani Hotel in Honolulu, February 2, 1964. Quote, "Ultimately, everyone must be resurrected out of the tomb of personal selfhood and be realized as the Son of God, as incorporeal being, and eventually, everyone must ascend above corporeality into incorporeality, not by physical processes, but by an activity of consciousness. It all takes place in consciousness. Consciousness must lift man up out of a tomb, not a body. Even a sick body cannot make itself well. It has to be lifted up by a change of consciousness. Poverty will not get rid of itself. An activity of consciousness has to change the picture. End of quote. So everything we have done together for the past 10 years has really been an extension of that statement made by Joel 10 years ago. All of it leads inevitably to what Joel calls the harmonious conclusion of your initiation. Me, conscious union with God permanently. In our spontaneous meditation now, that 30-second meditation, we go back to the knowledge that now is God. All over the world, now is God. It doesn't matter what people see, what people think, what appears to human eyes, now is God. And therefore now is perfect divine law, and that which denies it in appearance form is never happening. It cannot happen because now is God. Take that with you throughout your day while you're being divine. And every now and then, in a moment when you can, just pause, take it into meditation for 30 seconds, feel its truth, and then go back about your Father's business. Maintaining the purity of your consciousness, you will gradually eliminate most beliefs that are untrue. And daily you will expand your knowledge with truth that is then above the human mind, until your divine within becomes your divine without. The inner and the outer become one when divine truth is your only consciousness. Now, of course, there's going to be 1,000,001 mental tricks played upon you by the world mind to suck you back into that human body. The world mind works full time too. 24 hours of every day it presents a world of matter and human flesh. It even creates a human you. It projects images through the mind into time and into space. It tempts you to react. It moves the images. It draws you into emotional contact with the images. It flashes images that you fear and images that you desire, other images that please or displease you, more images that you want to possess, others you want to discard. And it gives names to the images. And it entices your senses with the need for certain images. And by the time you are 6 years old, you're so conditioned that you usually spend the remainder of your life in a whirl of images that you think are real. Because mother and father thought they were real, because friends think they're real, religion, science, respected leaders of mankind think these images are real. And finally, the image of you can no longer sustain its imaged universe. The same world mind that sent you forth as an image called baby suddenly puts a pin in your image, and you vanish into history. I am not of this world, says your divine self. I am not an image floating in space. I am not a helpless pawn in passing time. I do not live in the human world of passing images because my kingdom is not of this world. I live in the finished kingdom. I am from above, not from beneath. I who speak to you am He, your divine self, and if you trust me, not your senses, not your reasoning mind, not the opinions of man whose breath is in his nostrils, you will obey me and live now in the finished kingdom, not as a changing image in time, but as a perfect divine being. You will accept that here and now you are under perfect divine law. You will accept eternal divine identity before Abraham to the end of the world. You will accept your invisible divine flesh here and now, and you will trust it to be under perfect divine law. You will look at the unfinished kingdom of man, even at the image of your own human flesh, and you will know that your divine self is not living in that human image. Who eats my flesh will never die. Divinity accepted is life eternal. I am the resurrection. Divinity accepted is resurrection. Resurrection from a false human image in time that is going nowhere. I am the light of the world. Divinity accepted is the knowledge that you are everywhere now, not a local space image, but omnipresent spiritual being, light of the world. Not matter, not material image, not bottled up in form, but independent of space and time. Truly, the invisible light of the world. I am the life. Means that your now self is divine, eternal, without boundaries in space, living now, everywhere. And then comes the great love of your divine self. A warning that without divine selfhood, you are a dying image. Hear the warning. If you do not believe that I am He, you will die in your sins. All halfway measures are destined to fail. Human goodness is not enough. The full measure of God's life must be accepted as your life. Every divine quality must be accepted as the divine quality of your being here and now, in spite of every appearance. Your divine self has no need of ascending. It is Christ, the Word of God, the invisible self of you that never descended. It is the only self you are. And as you stand in your ascended self daily, through work, through play, through sunshine, through storm, through health or sickness, Christ within changes your outer image, subtly replacing your human image with the divine. And this is the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the divine word made flesh. There is no earthly condition that can pluck you from the finished kingdom of God, for your divine self is already there. So when you feel frustrated, do not know how to be divine, just look at a saying of Jesus. That's why it's there in the Bible. That statement, spoken by your divine self, tells you how to be divine, how not to be human. Ponder the statement, and it will open your inner eyes, and then obey the truth you have discovered and make it part of your inventory of truth and consciousness. I assure you, like a tree, your new consciousness will pour abundant fruit into your garden. Just a word of caution. There are many students who are still failing to recognize the full illusion. They catch part of it, and they're able to escape part of it. But another part of the illusion catches them off guard. You should realize that there is only one illusion, this world. If you think part of this world is real and part is unreal, then you know more than God. My kingdom is not of this world. That's God's statement. And so that's the truth you must plant in your consciousness, and you must obey it. Divine truth you obey, because it only comes from the seven heaven, the finished kingdom of God. And if you take that truth lightly, the Father has just told us we will die in our sins. The full illusion is this world. You cannot ignore divine truth, disobey divine truth, or even obey only a fraction of divine truth without losing your way. There's no place in this work for placing your opinions or your hopes above the divine truth spoken by God. If the world is not God's kingdom, how can it contain the qualities of God? Therefore, to experience divine qualities, you must live outside this world in the divine kingdom. You must live outside humanhood. You must live in your divine body. You must live outside your human mind in your divine mind. The purpose of all divine truth is to lift you above finite human reason, which thinks it knows what truth ought to be, and ends up by burying the human body. Now let's illustrate this, to see how easily our senses are trapped into the illusion. Let's just consider a normal human being. He seeks to improve himself. He wants to protect himself. He wants to make himself secure. Very normal. Why? Because he lives in the universe that God did not create. Appearances in this world stimulate him to action. So if he sees people in danger, he wants to help them. If he sees greed and corruption in high places, he wants to correct it. And if he sees evil anywhere, he wants to crusade against it. And all this is reasonable to him. He feels right about attacking and defending against everything that is wrong in the world. He's called a good human being. But what is he actually doing? He's actually letting the world mind use his human mind to declare that God is absent, that God is permitting evil, and that the same God who permitted the evils to happen expects him to clean them up. He's been fooled into living outside God's universe. And in spite of all his good intentions, he's a victim of the world mind, that cosmic atheist, and unless he awakens from the sleep, his entire life will be committed to chasing shadows in order to improve the shadows. You see, living as a human being, he sees a human universe. And he sees it full of human errors that somehow filtered through God's attention without being noticed. And the poor victim of these illusions actually thinks that he's doing God's work when he attacks these shadows. That's how complete the cosmic illusion is. Now, this cosmic malpractice ends when you are faithful to pure divine truth. And that is, God created a perfect universe. Who can change it? Stop your crusading. Stop malpracticing God. Stop malpracticing the world. Just pause. And stop falling into the mental trap that has buried mankind in a tomb since the world began. Ask yourself, is God sitting around idly, waiting for you and me to improve his universe? Do we really believe that God created something imperfect and then gave us the power to make it perfect? Let us face this truth. Only an imperfect God could create imperfection. Is our God perfect or imperfect? If our God is perfect, our perfect God could only create perfection, and therefore, all imperfection must be an illusion of the human mind, and it exists only within that human mind. For God, the perfect creator, created nothing which is or could ever become imperfect. So one of the mighty truths you learn to face in your daily inner work is that every danger, every evil, every pain in your human mind is keeping you in the mental universe that God did not create. the cosmic hypnotist has fooled you into believing that millions of mirages need improvement. This false picture will continue to enslave you until you remove the one mirage that makes all the other mirages possible. There is no mortal you. That mortal you, trying to improve the other illusions, is as much an illusion as they are. You are living in the wrong self. You are letting yourself be flesh and blood that cannot inherit the kingdom of God. You've been caught asleep in a physical form, absent from the Lord. There are many situations in this world where all the physical help you want to give to someone will actually not help them in the slightest. Can you physically give eyes to a blind man? Can you physically raise Lazarus from the tomb? Can you physically tame the flood and restore movement to a paralyzed limb? You see, if we are satisfied to do the lesser works physically, then we will never develop the spiritual capacity to do the greater works. We will forever be limited to a patched-up universe. You may have noticed that Jesus was not running around patching up God's universe. As a matter of fact, never once did he speak out against the entire Roman Empire, which was committing every possible human evil. He never attacked it. He never tried to remove the evil. He didn't teach us to fight injustice or to rise up and battle evil powers or to go to war against enemies. He didn't even teach us to defend ourselves or our neighbors. He did teach us to put up our sword, to stop improving this world, to stop defending ourselves against danger, to stop struggling to keep the wolf from the door and pain from our suffering bodies. Was he mad? Or did we miss his great point that he was exposing us to the material illusions and saying, stop. There's a better way. There's a divine way, a perfect way. God is not letting any of this happen. You're looking through material senses. You're looking at images within your own mind. You're trapped in the sense world. Your entire battle is imaginary. Your frustration is imaginary. Even your fear is imaginary. The world mind is playing the entire scene with images. It is not God's work. You are not seeing God's universe. And by doing so, you are rejecting God. You are worshiping the world mind. Atoms have fooled you. Time images have fooled you. The belief in a power other than God has fooled you. The belief in mortal life has fooled you. You've got to pause, step out of reason, out of logic, step into your ascended self. Be what you are, divine self, immortal life, one complete self without finite human divisions. Take a long drink of silence. Rest in your finished kingdom. Accept the nowness of God everywhere. Now is God. Where human eyes see danger, now is God. Where the human mind sees lack, now is God. Where the assassin stands poised to kill, now is God. Where all mortal life seems to be, now is God. Live in that finished kingdom. Feel its peace. Feel the essence of divine life. Feel the invisible power. Trust it. Relax. It is all your invisible divine self. Nothing else and no one else is present on this earth. It is all your one divine self. You are infinite divine being. Everywhere. One divine self. When the deep sigh comes, what Joe will call the click, open your eyes. Go about your Father's business confidently. The invisible work has been done. Let your divine self express without mortal belief in opposites. Return to your Father's house. Frapum, your assignment is to live in your ascended self. And you can accomplish that by the things we have discussed, plus a very beautiful technique that I would like you now to consider. Your thought, your consciousness, must be kept pure. There is no power on this earth that can walk into your consciousness if you are alert. Those negative emotions, those beliefs in unreality, all come into your consciousness because you are unwatchful. Now let's for a moment just stand watching our thought, determined that nothing untrue can enter my thought. That's it. I will not permit anything untrue to enter my thought. I will only permit truth to enter my thought. Now, can you do that for a few minutes? Here comes the picture of a person. No, you've got to know that that picture is unreal. Why? Because only truth is entertained in your thought. The Christ sees no person. So you've got to be alert. Henceforth, know ye no person. All materiality is untruth. Can you maintain a consciousness without materiality? If you cannot, you are letting untruth enter. An untruth that enters will express in an outer form of untruth. Maintaining truth in consciousness is not mouthing words. You can recite the Bible all day long. It won't mean a thing. You've got to reject that which is untrue. And form is untrue. Evil is untrue. Error is untrue. Everything that is untrue must be rejected before it takes a foothold in your consciousness. And this is how you purify your thought. You'll even reach the place where there's no thought. Because you'll find that everything in this world is untrue. The world is untrue. You cannot let anything in this world enter your thought. And yet, divine thought, which is not about this world, can occupy your thought. The spiritual grace of the Father can flow through you. Now, because what you have in consciousness is what appears in the outer world as your experience, you see, this is where you determine your every tomorrow. Now, you've gone through the various ways to be divine. This must be added. Thought control. The rejection of the material lie in every form that it comes to you. The adjustment in consciousness that this that appears before me is not. What is there is divine self. Soon, your thought is all divine. You may for a long time think that nothing is happening, but you will not have negative thought. That for sure will be happening. And gradually as you remove all negative thought, refusing to let it enter, to defile, to influence you, to in any way force you to react to it, you just let it go by. And now the Father's thoughts begin to permeate your consciousness. This new level of activity begins animating you. The form moves. It does that which is the outer expression of divine thought. The finished kingdom in the invisible becomes heaven on earth. All of this that I have given you in the second half constitutes a blueprint of the way we live out of body as divine being in the finished kingdom to the best of our ability until the baptism of the Holy Ghost becomes a fact. It is all important. And how you do it, how faithfully you do it, how deeply you are motivated to walk in the finished kingdom as divine being will determine the results. I want to say to all of you throughout the United States, those of you across the oceans, a very loving and joyous Easter in your ascended self, the self that hath been, that now is, and that ever will be. Much love. We'll see you again after Easter.